Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Welcome to Ethnically Ambiguous, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, this is Shireen.
Hi, this is Anna.
This is Ethnically Ambiguous. We have a very special guest in studio with us today, all the way from Brooklyn, New York. Also, Cairo, Egypt. Not Cairo, New York, Cairo, Egypt. You'll figure out why I said that in the episode.
Yes.
It's Kareem Rahma.
Yeah, he hosts You People, the podcast.
Yeah, and he's a hustler. And you'll figure out why. He also Venmo'd us for this guest opportunity, so stay tuned.
Who are we? Where did we come from? Who do we become? What is it to be? What to be is it? Where are we? Who are my parents? Where are my pants? Why were we born? We are Ethnically Ambiguous.
Hello!
Hi!
Whoa! I want to launches to space. I'm Shireen.
I'm Anna.
Today we have a very exciting guest. Me and Anna, this is the first time we've either of us have met him, right?
Yeah, but I've definitely internet stalked a little.
Yeah, same.
Definitely deep in the Instagram.
Yeah.
You know when you scroll
Instagram,
too
Twitter.
Far and you know too much now?
Oh, I haven't done that. Oh no. What now do you
I know too much.
Well,
the power I feel. I don't know that much.
Just to introduce him so he can finally speak and not be silent the whole time. Kareem Rahma? Is that, am I saying it right or no?
Yeah.
Rahma?
Yeah.
Rahma? I don't
this
know.
This is did you know that was my voice?
No.
What's your voice?
I've never heard your voice before.
I know, that was going to trick you guys, but then I just gave up so early.
That breathy.
It was going to be like this. Hi.
But oh, God.
Failed.
Yeah, okay, we would have been like, let's cut this short. He's talking way too softly.
You Instagram stalked, but you didn't hear the voice.
I may have heard the voice on the actual you. Oh, okay. You host a podcast called You People.
Yes.
Yes.
And I went on the Instagram of that and, like, you know, you listen to the, like, the clips.
The clippies.
But I don't remember anything because I was probably stoned, let's be real.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, interesting.
I
and
saw,
then 5
yeah.
minutes later, forgot I ever did anything.
I saw videos of you, but I don't think I heard your voice. I saw a really funny video. I guess it was a TikTok video of like water bottles or some shit or like the flippy. What's it called? It's like a,
I don't know.
Just bottle flip.
Bottle flip.
Bottle
the kids.
Flip
the kids
the
these days. But that was really fun. I don't think you talk though, but I was like, oh, this guy's funny. But
yeah, I did notice you had a very like cool aesthetic. Like I was like, this guy's cool.
Yeah.
Is that weird? Sorry.
He's a cool Arab.
That's good because that is not what I feel like. So
no,
it's
no
good that
my
reflection to the world is cool Arab guy.
Yeah.
When in reality, I'm just like big nerd in my brain, like very sad and lonely.
Oh, yeah. You're speaking
to
the choir. Oh, my God. If I don't mention how sad I am like twice an episode, it's not an episode.
Should we start a club?
Yeah. I'm the president. Sorry.
You can be secretary, but you will have to run for the position.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm down.
Get your campaign
auditions tomorrow. Auditions. Okay. Well, you're from Brooklyn. You're here visiting. What are you doing here?
So I help my friend who runs a premium nonfiction film and television studio called XTR.
Whoa.
I'm a senior advisor.
Whoa.
Which is a cool title.
That is a very cool title for a very cool person.
But really what it means is that I'm kind of like a Rick Rubin. So I just lay on this couch, shoes off, not in Malibu. People are like, what do you think of this? And I'm like, it's a pretty good idea.
Mm.
It's
That's a great gig.
It sounds cool. And the company is cool, but it's cool,
I guess. It's cush.
I'll allow it to be. I'll allow myself to say that that's cool.
Okay, well, let's rewind a little bit because I want to get to know you as everyone else is getting to know you too. Where were you born and raised?
So I was born in Cairo, Egypt.
That's where it is.
There's a couple of Cairos in the States.
Well, there is a Paris, Texas.
There is?
There's a Paris, Texas.
There's a London, or no, a Lebanon, Oregon?
I don't
know. Is it in Oregon? There's Lebanon somewhere.
I thought there was a Lebanon, Texas as well, but maybe
I think there's a few.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there's a few of those weird like Arab cities and countries in the United States.
Where are the Cairos?
There's one in New York for sure.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. I've driven past it.
That's
and I was
weird.
Like, what's up?
You
know?
For you, but not really.
Yeah. That's wild.
So I was born in Cairo, but I spent very little time there.
Okay.
My dad had moved to the United States in 1969. So, and I was born in 1986.
Okay.
So I just happened to be born on like a vacation type of situation, which was cool because I was already a citizen of the United States, even though I was born in Cairo, which is uncool because then I became a citizen of Egypt, which is something that I don't necessarily want or need because they, you know, tend to treat their citizens like dirt.
Mm.
And so when I'm there, I want the nice guy treatment. I want the American citizen treatment.
No, but you're not.
Interesting.
I get the Egyptian citizen treatment, which is like
scum
of the earth. So, like, I hate you guys.
Do they like, were your parents born in Egypt?
Yeah.
So do they do that thing where if your parents are born or from there, then you automatically get citizenship?
But he was born there anyway.
Yeah,
I know, but if you weren't born there, wouldn't you have still gotten?
No, I don't know, actually. If I was born in the States and both my parents are Egyptian, I don't think I would be an Egyptian citizen.
I'm Syrian. I have dual citizenship with Syria because of that. Because
I have the same with Iran. I am dual because of my parents.
But you were born in the United States.
Born in the United States.
Oh, that's tough.
Well, I was born here, and then a month after I was born, they changed their mind and wanted to move back. And so I was raised over there for a second, and then I came back. But, I mean, but there is that rule where, like, me and my sisters, even though we're all born in the States, we have dual citizenship with Syria. Even now, even after, we can't really go back.
Would you want that? Do you want that?
I mean, I don't want to, like, support the Syrian government or anything or, like, be like, I love being a citizen of this establishment. But I do really, I like being able to, like, have something to prove that I was from somewhere. I don't know, because I never really felt at home here.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I never really thought too hard about like what the implications were. And maybe you feel the same way about being a citizen of Iran. But like it felt like maybe like I was able to go back at any time. But now it's not really like that.
I mean, I guess I go back whenever I want. Well, not currently. I don't go back. I haven't gone back since 2017 because of the current administration. And
I haven't gone back since 2010.
So you don't get visas when you go?
No, that's what I like. And also, I can go to Turkey. I don't need a visa. Mm-hmm. Like, I can go to the surrounding areas without getting a visa because of that. And that's what I enjoy. Also, my entire family is in Iran. Like, only my parents came here. So, like, it's convenient to know that I can go back and see them.
Yeah.
Hopefully, after this administration, I'll go back.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't been to Syria since 2010. So it's really
hard. But you love Bashar al-Assad.
No, I don't. We've talked so much shit about him on this podcast. He would probably murder me.
Actually, don't go back. Not for a while. Go.
Okay, well, let's talk about you. Why did your dad, in 69, he came here.
Yeah.
Why did he do that?
Good old American dream, know?
Yeah. What was his job, Sitch?
So, interesting. He was a chemist by trade.
Okay.
But an aspiring movie star. In Egypt, which is kind of cool. So
that's
he was
so
like,
endearing.
He was like in these movies, like as a stuntman or a stunt double, like riding horses for like Hercules, like the Egyptian version of Hercules. And I think it came down to like, am I going to do this life of like being an Egyptian movie star potentially? Mm-hmm. Or like, do I need to like go to America? And at that point, you know, none of his friends had been to America. Like his family didn't believe him when he left. He was gone for like 6 months.
Whoa.
And they still didn't believe. They thought he was like hiding in Alexandria, like Egypt, like up in the Mediterranean. And like there's this tape of his like grandfather being like, Sayid, I know you're not in America. Please come home now. Like, leave your beach vacation. And so no one believed him.
Wow.
So yeah, he came out. He came to do the original American dream and, mm-hmm. and have a better life for himself and for his family. At the time, he wasn't married. So he spent a long time emulating John Travolta in Saturday Night mm-hmm. Fever.
Oh, hell yeah.
And that was like the vibe. I have many photos of
Super 70s.
Dude.
Very
I have the
it.
Same thing with my dad.
Disco.
It was a look, yeah.
Disco guy.
You're like, okay.
Well, I imagine at the time it was like the exoticism and like, it was just like dope.
Americana.
It was
know?
Just, but also to be like from Egypt mm-hmm. or the Middle East in general was fetishized and like, it was really cool.
I mean, mm-hmm. also, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but like, I feel like at the time Omar Sharif was like kind of getting out and everything. And I'm sure that kind of made him feel a little bit more comfortable in his skin.
Yeah,
right?
Those bangers, Dr. Zhivago and
he was
Lawrence
like the
Arabia.
Reason why they were like, oh, Egyptians can be cool. Like,
and
he
it
was,
worked.
Like, the first Arab sex symbol of like anything.
He's one of the most romantic people.
He's just dreamy.
I read some quotes. He has this, like, there's this great interview that is memorialized. I don't remember what publication it was in, and I don't remember what year, but it's something in, like, the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. And it was after he had been, you know, Omar Sharif, and now he's just kind of, like, lonely, depressed, mm-hmm. unmarried,
oh.
gambling addiction.
Yeah.
But still, like, living in hotels in, like, Paris mm-hmm. and, like, smoking cigarettes
wow.
and, like, gambling. And the interviewer is just like taken aback by him every time he like speaks a word or looks at her. She's like, I tried, like, this is probably not great, but she's like, Omar ordered for me and said that I would have the foie gras and the like the oysters, and my heart just started melting.
Wow.
It was like, I was reading it. It honestly was like a, what are those like sex, like
erotica?
Yeah, it was like erotica, like the article.
I mean, I dedicated an entire episode of this podcast to him at one point. So
there's
I'm a Sharif
like
fan.
A romanticism of like old Hollywood style film, mm-hmm. like in, and then being like, I am in Paris. And I'm mm-hmm. in this hotel, and I'm just chain smoking.
Yeah.
And it's so like, ooh la la, yeah, but order even, for me, daddy.
But even this whole thing of like how he was in love with Barbara Streisand, and then he was just like, I'm not an Egyptian citizen anymore. Mm-hmm. I give it up for love, for my love of a Jewish person, mm-hmm. was just kind of like baller.
That's badass.
He was
yeah.
just like, fuck you.
Yeah, that's
I
amazing.
Thought it was really cool.
I mean, no, he's a fucking champion.
That's cool. Wait, so I have a question. So your why didn't they believe he came to America, your family?
It was just not possible at the time. Like, he didn't come from, like, a rich family, and they weren't, like, super-duper educated. So it was just, like, the idea that he went to America with no money, like, actually no money, you know,
mm-hmm.
With, like, literally $20, and with no friends in the States
was
just completely insane.
But how did he do it? Like, what city did he go to? Like, how did he fucking survive?
So my father passed away in 2007. So there's a lot of unanswered questions that mm-hmm. I don't know about. He was also a very big exaggerator.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot
that.
Of
theatrical,
his life.
Yeah,
it's just like kind of Big Fish, the movie, where it's just like, I don't know what's real and what's not real. Like, for example, he one time told me that he invented jogging. In Minnesota. And as a child, I definitely believed him. And now there's like kind of still like a thing where I'm like, it's possible.
Every like, time you see someone jogging, you're like, you're welcome.
He was like, I was in Minnesota and no one would run. He called it training. That's what he called it, training. And he was like, and I started training and I was like, what's training? He's like, I would jog. And he was like, and people would just like honk at me and be like, where are you going? And I would just be like, I'm just jogging. And I'm like, this sounds like an awfully lot like Forrest Gump, Dad.
Right. I'm sure he invented it in that town.
Maybe, yeah.
Because they're probably like, just like, possible. It's too cold for you to be out here. Yeah.
It's seriously possible. But I don't know what's truth and what's not. It's mm-hmm. always been a constant kind of like dilemma of mm-hmm. me not knowing if I should trust him or not. Because some of the stories check out. Like, I've tried to verify these things with his friends or people that moved here with him. And many of them do check out.
Wow.
And then many of them are just like completely absurd. And I'm like too embarrassed to even ask. So
It
was a pretty big life situation. And he lived that in the States for a while, for like 20-ish years. Mm. Kind of lived here alone. Bachelor guy. And then did the like Arab guy thing where he was like, it's time for me to settle down. Mm-hmm. I will go to Egypt and find a wife.
Right.
And that's how he met my mom, which is an amazing mom. My mom, I love my mom. She's the best. And then, you know, she was like, this guy seems really interesting. But then
he invented jogging.
Yeah, he invented jogging. And then, but so the thing about like these made up things is he kind of was like a hustler guy, where it was like he kind of had a job sometimes, but kind of didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first, I think, year of their marriage, he would wake up every day. This is in Minnesota, and go to work. But he was not going to work.
God.
He was going to like a diner.
Oh no!
And like reading books and like, I don't know, maybe writing poems or something. Mm-hmm. And eventually, my mom found out that he like wasn't working at the time.
Because there was like no money.
Yeah, no. Somebody said like no, because he had like saved up a lot of money from some stuff.
Yeah,
because he would get into these little hustles, which would like you know net out a few thousand dollars or whatever, and could live off of it. And so, like. Somebody saw my mom at the mosque once and was like, oh, I saw like Sayed like at a diner at 11 a.m.
Oh my God.
And she confronted him and he came clean.
Wow.
But yeah, so storytelling guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow, that's kind of,
he sounds fun.
Yeah, my dad's kind of the same way where I don't know what's real sometimes in his stories. Also, like, they're very convoluted and don't really make sense.
Yeah.
But then when I go to Iran, I just like ask. I'm like, did this happen? And they're like, sure. Or like, yeah, I don't know about that. And you just kind of like, you've got to go to the source of like, what was he doing at this age?
Do you get a straight answer?
For the most part. The older, like his aunts or his sisters, my aunts, they're kind of like no bullshit. They're like very, one of them's called the sheriff because she's so aggressive and intense. Dang. And like straight shooter. She's very intense. Shout out Hala Mali. Like, what is she listening? Okay. But she would never. But yeah, like you just got to go. You got to go to Egypt and start asking questions.
No,
man.
I tried.
Yeah.
And last time I was in Egypt, which was this summer, I went to the only remaining relative on that side of my family, who's Tant Noel, my Aunt Noel, is my dad's older sister.
Yeah.
And so this is in Upper Egypt. Like, I've never been there. And Upper Egypt is something else. It's like farm country to the nth degree. And she just wouldn't answer any of my questions.
Oh.
She just kept saying, like, you look so much like your dad.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Yeah. You walk through the room and I just see your dad.
Yeah.
And that's all she said for literally 3 hours. And I was like, hey, I have some questions. And then I had my mom with me and I was like, Mom, can you please translate this? And again, like, just no answers.
Yeah.
Like, why did my dad move to America? He was the most handsome person in the world, and you are the most handsome person in the world. And then eventually I just gave up, and I just like, I'm going back to Cairo. Thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it. That's kind of what
Yeah, my family harps on how much I look like my mom, like to an obsessive degree, to a point where when my uncle, her brother is tired, just calls me by my mom's name the whole time, and I have to be like, nope. Still the daughter. Yeah. And it's like, oh, sorry. And then we'll immediately do it again. I'm like, okay, I understand I look like my mom. But
I mean, I get told I'm adopted all the time. So,
but you look like your mom too.
No one, but my older sister looks way more like her than I do. And so no one ever tells me that I look like anybody.
You guys are the perfect blend of your dad and your mom. In my opinion.
I've never been told by any family member that I look like anybody. They're always
just
like, where'd you come from?
After this, we'll pull out a photo. She looks exactly like your parents' genes.
I've been told
went together in the most amazing way.
Like, my friends will tell me I look like my mom when they see a photo of her, but like my family will never be like, you look so much like so-and-so. They'll just be like, why do you look this way?
People like act like I'm like the reincarnation. Like they're like,
I feel that. Do you think so?
I definitely look like my mom. I look nothing like my dad. My dad's a lot darker. Like, he's like a dark guy.
He's just tan.
He's just like a darker Iranian man.
Yeah.
But my mom is like pale. Like, she's like white.
Yeah.
Even though she's also Iranian. But she's like white.
Yeah. My mom and my sister, my older sister, are very pale. And then I'm a little darker. My little sister is a little lighter too. But I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
My grandfather was just straight white.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, like white man.
Did your dad ever do that thing where he would look at someone who had light brown hair and say they were blonde?
Yeah, all the time. The word for blonde in Arabic is like basically light. Like they look at someone with light brown hair, they're like, oh, they're blonde.
Yeah, you're like, that's not blonde. My dad would always be like, they're so blonde, like they're blonde,
like,
blonde.
Like
and then I'd meet them and I'd be like, they have brown hair.
My older sister Rami was always called blonde.
That's crazy.
Like, but she has, like maybe when she was a baby, she had really light brown hair.
She was a blonde.
But she, yeah.
I was blonde when I was a baby.
Were you really blonde or did you have light brown hair?
No, I was light brown hair.
Yeah. That's like a part of their exaggerations. They have like weird ideas of what looks are.
It's so like, weird. Like it's like a mix of being like exaggerating, but also very blunt. Like so blunt it hurts, but also exaggerating at the same time.
Well, yeah, it's like the first thing that I haven't seen my family in 5 years, and the first thing they say to me is like, "You've gained weight."
Exactly. I'm like, exactly.
It's also nice to see you.
Yeah. We were just over Thanksgiving.
And you've gotten older, Grandma.
But the first thing they'll say is like, maybe you got healthy. Like, oh, yeah. Healthy, and I'm just like, okay,
if you tell me
I got fat, like, leave me alone.
I remember my grandpa, he hadn't seen me in like 3 years, and he was getting older. And he sees me, he goes, and he's like crying. He's so happy to see me. And he's crying and is telling me how much weight I've gained. I'm like, fool, you got to pick a lane here. You're either happy to see me or you think I gained weight. You can't be all like, I'm so happy to see you. You've gained so much weight. It's like, this is. And I was just, you know, you can't really say anything because they're your elders and you'll get slapped across the face. So I was like, mm-hmm, you know me.
But it's just like they're so blunt, it hurts. And like, I feel like their lack of filter has like, I also have no filter. Like, not, like, to that degree. Like, I won't, like, just be like, look who got fat.
You're fat!
But there's no filter from my brain to my mouth, and I think it's just, like, a genetic thing. I don't know.
You're always telling me how fat I am.
not true at all.
There's something so dark about it.
Get out of here.
It's really dark.
Okay, but, so, they eventually came back. So, you were born in Cairo on a vacay, and then you came back. Were you in Minnesota at the time?
Yeah, freezing cold Minnesota.
How did your mom like it there?
I look at photos. She looked really like she fit in. She was very happy.
Yeah,
it looked good. It looked
How long
like a
were
nice
you there
life.
For as a kid?
My whole life.
Wow.
My whole life until I was 27.
How's it like being an Egyptian in Minnesota?
Well, I talk about this a lot, and it's like I kind of just whitewashed myself.
Her name is Kareem.
I know. That's the only that was the only giveaway is that my name was Kareem. But otherwise, I could have passed for like Latino, or like
ethnically ambiguous.
Half black, ethnically. Yeah. So that was the giveaway. But I also just tried to be a chameleon. So I celebrated Christmas not in my house, but like in my mind and in my imagination. So when everyone came back from winter break, it's like, what'd you get for Christmas? I was like, I got a Sega Genesis, a remote control car, and all of those things were completely made up, but I just wanted to fit in.
Yeah.
So it was like a defense mechanism type of situation. I didn't really get bullied or made fun of until after 9/11, which then it was like, you know,
then it was a free-for-all.
Then it was like, let's do this.
Yeah. Everyone got together and they're like,
sub-terrorist. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't even understand. And we had this cool thing called the Egyptian American Society of Minnesota.
Oh.
And I think it was about 1,000 members. It was like all the Egyptians in Minnesota, which is not, I guess, that many for an entire state. But they would get together. We'd have barbecues. We'd have picnics. My problem was, at that point, I felt so American that I really didn't like any of the people in the Egyptian American Society because I felt as if they were too Egyptian and that they were going to blow my cover. And so I didn't love going to those events. I really identified more American. Part of it, I would blame my parents for, you know, like I only spoke Arabic until I went to first grade and I still only spoke Arabic. And so I got bullied and made fun of and cried and like wanted to go home and didn't want to go to school, which is why I skipped kindergarten. They kicked me out because I just would cry.
Aww.
That's all I would do.
That's so
and
sad.
So then there was a rule in my house of you can only speak English. And then boom, off to the races, never spoke Arabic again.
Wow.
Now, you know, I obviously regret that, but I had no part of it. So
Well, they were just trying to protect you in their own way. But we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with Kareem. Don't go anywhere.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
And we're back. It's funny that you said you got bullied because me and my older sister, Arabic was our first language, and we had accents growing up, and we definitely got made fun of. Like, I still say stuff wrong.
You said accents?
Yeah.
I heard Atkins.
You had Atkins.
I definitely...
It proves your point. You still say things wrong.
But I didn't say Atkins. I said accents.
I know. I heard accents. So I don't know why.
I don't know. I don't hear any accents on the show.
But, I mean,
at the moment.
No. But back in the day, like in first grade, like in elementary school, me and my sister both got made fun of, and we like grew out of it. But like sometimes I'll still say a word wrong, or like I can't read English right sometimes. But like for the most part now, I think in English. But some words I can't think of in English. I can only think in Arabic. So I don't know.
You still think in Arabic?
Mm-hmm. Especially with my parents, we text in Arabic and stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
We've given up.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's so. Do your parents mostly spoke English to you then growing up?
Yeah.
That's nice. You know, my parents speak like Farsi. It's like half Farsi, half English. And that's like how, that's just how we speak because they're all, they've been here since they were in their 20s. So they just like slowly have, I mean, they still have the thickest accents because they don't, my dad truly does not give a shit about not having, like he just goes, why would I not? Like I have an accent because my dad's also a, he's from northern Iran, so he's like a fucking like Turk, and they're just like the gnarliest men you can come across in Iran.
How are they gnarly?
So northern Iran is like the Azerbaijani region, which it doesn't really make sense because the country of Azerbaijan is right above it, but like that region is Azerbaijani. It's a lot of influence comes down from there, and they speak a dialect of Turkish, which so they're all called Turks. So everyone basically like mid-Iran and down, they're all Farsi. So my mom's a Farsi. They speak Farsi. But the Turks, they like party. Like they're wild people and they're all the men are just hotheads. Like I, when I go to Iran, my Farsi cousins say, never marry a Turk, which is like my mom's greatest mistake was marrying my like wild ass dad because he's just like, he's just...
You know what I mean? Just, like, I mean, no,
he's,
no, no.
He's a character of a human being, but like Turkish is, it's so like, oh, like it's, you know, like how normal Turkish is, but it's so guttural. And the way they talk is like, they're just screaming at you. Mm. So that, when you listen to Farsi, it's a little bit more sing-songy, but Turkish is like, it's so in your fucking face. And they're so like, they're just wild people. Like you'll be like, why is everyone yelling? They're like, we're talking about dinner. Yeah. What we're going to make for dinner. And you're like, okay, but everyone is screaming at me. Like, I feel like I need to like back up. I'm like, I'm sorry. They're like, no, what do you want for dinner? And I'm like, why are you so aggressive? Like, that's their vibe. They just come at you fast.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, chill out. My mom's a Farsi. I don't have full Turk blood. So you need to like respect my space. So because of that, my dad found like a whole Turk community in the Bay Area when he came out here. So he just like never stopped speaking Turkish or Farsi. So he just like never lost his accent, even though he's been here since he was 24. He was in America longer than he ever lived in Iran and has the thickest accent.
He has a very thick accent.
Like, but you like, can't understand him. It's I mean, like,
I like accents, though. It's like just, it's like you're showing that you don't speak in your you're able to speak in a language that's not your first language. Like, my mom and my dad still have accents, and my mom studied English.
But they're not that thick. Like, there's a certain level of fuck you my dad had to the English language to never, ever give in to ever. Because your parents' accent, not even remotely as thick as my dad's.
Not really. No, but like, so my mom studied English in Syria. So then when we started learning English here, she got us hooked on phonics, and we all learned together.
Yeah.
And so I would learn things in her accent.
Mm-hmm.
So the words I would say in English still had an Arabic accent to them because my mom would say them to me in a way. So I would just like sound like a little version of my mom's accent.
That's cute.
Yo, hooked on phonics is a very sick name. Yeah. Or like anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, like it really worked.
I think I did it as well.
Yeah.
Did you do hooked on phonics?
I don't think I did. Huh. I just know the name. And mm-hmm. I think I like the word phonics.
Phonics, yeah.
So then you're like hooked on it.
Yeah. It's like a drug. And like,
I'm still drugged out.
Like, does anyone use the word phonics?
Well, now they will.
What is that? Like, phonics is just.
It's like the sounds that words make.
It's the phon.
That's what it is? I've never even thought about
it. No, that's what I'm saying. Now we're talking about this phonics, and it's like an onyx, a phonics, a phoenix.
Bring it back.
It's a phoenix
bring it
and
back.
An onyx. Like, what is a phonics?
So I guess it's like the noises you make to say words, I guess.
It's
like
phonetic.
Oh, there you go.
It must be tied to phonetic.
That makes but like, a lot more sense.
Phonic is a much uglier word than phonetic.
And then to be like, you got to get hooked on these to so you know how to speak
just
English.
Put the IV right in my vein.
Okay, let's go back to you. You're in Minnesota.
Yeah.
You're Egyptian.
Yeah.
You're whitewashing yourself.
Yeah.
Did you ever think of changing your name?
Yeah, in fact, I did.
What did you think you'd change it to?
No, I actually changed it.
Oh. What?
Well, that's interesting. There's two interesting name change stories.
Okay.
The first name change stories is that because my dad was so cocky, on my birth certificate in Egypt, or wait, maybe when I moved here and they like needed a passport or whatever the situation is of like getting me to be an American citizen. So my American birth certificate, maybe, I don't know. He spelled my name, you'll wait for it, is K-R-E-M.
Oh no.
Krem?
What?
Krem.
Yeah. So legally my name was Krem. And I didn't know that. That was it because I didn't know English.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, because you're a baby and not being like, ooh, daddy left a letter.
Yeah. And so every year the teacher's like, Krem? And I'm like, it's Kareem. I'm Egyptian. And I think that the reason they can't understand my name is because I'm Egyptian and they've never seen the name Kareem before. Not that it was fucking spelt
wrong. Oh my
God.
Yeah.
And so eventually, after like sixth grade or whatever, like when I finally learned how words are spelt, I was like, oh my God, my name is spelled wrong. It's not because I'm a foreigner. It's because it's literally spelled wrong.
Oh my God.
And I confronted my dad.
Yeah.
This was his explanation. Thought it would be easier for you to learn.
Oh.
Less letters.
That's hilarious.
He chopped the E, an E off, and an A. So just Krem.
I mean, in his defense, Arabic letters, like the ka is just a ka.
Right.
You know, like there's no like A after the K. So maybe in his mind, he was like, what's the English letter for K? K, R, R, whatever.
You but know what Kareem I mean? Is a popular name.
Okay, well,
and there's a Middle Eastern way to spell it. There's a Middle Eastern way to spell it, which is K A R I M. Like that's how most Middle Easterners spell Kareem. So he not only did that, he also chose like the African American way, which is K-A-R-E-E-M.
Uh-huh.
So it was just, I think he was just kind of cocky. Like, I don't know. But anyways, we changed it.
Okay.
At some point, I don't know the details.
Yeah.
But at some point, I rallied and I was like, I can't be Krem for the rest of my life. Although I do have a Krem tattoo on my thigh now.
That's amazing.
To always remember, never forget. Yeah, so Krem's tattooed on my thigh.
Never forget.
And then the second part is, so I grew up with the last name Ahmed.
Okay.
So Kareem Ahmed.
Ahmed,
if you want to be a
Krem.
English. Krem Ahmed.
Yeah, Krem Ahmed. So that was my name. And, you know, for my whole, so I guess, wow, the whole name thing is crazy. So my dad, when he moved here, his name was Abu Rahma.
Mm-hmm.
That's his last name.
Yeah,
Abu Rahma.
And he
Wait, what's his first name, though?
Sayyid.
Sayyid Abu Rahma.
So his name is Sayyid Abu Rahma.
Do you have an older brother named Rahma or no?
No.
Well, who's Rahma?
No one knows. It's just like was passed down forever. Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Chill.
Just like a family name.
Okay.
Just like somebody along the way was called Abu Rahma.
Interesting.
And so he was Abu Rahma. And, you know, in Arabic culture or Middle Eastern culture, it was like you know, everyone has their dad's name.
Everyone has like
as their middle name.
Yeah, yeah.
And it
yeah.
just goes forever. Mm-hmm. And technically you're supposed to stop after four, but you can like keep going.
Oh.
So when he moved here, he was like, oh, Ahmed's way easier than Abu Rahma. So he like chopped off his last name and took one of his middle names as his last name.
Okay. Mm.
So he was Sayyid Ahmed. I was Krem Ahmed. And
oh
so on.
Oh my God.
And for I never liked the name Ahmed. Mm-hmm. I just hated it. I don't like how it looks. And I'm sorry for anyone named Ahmed,
I mean,
especially one of my best friends.
It doesn't translate very well into English. Like, the sound isn't the same.
It's just, like, not a... Yeah, it's just not beautiful and, like I mean,
Ahmed,
Ahmed
and Ahmed. It's just, like, you have to have the...
Yeah,
but,
it
yeah,
sounds...
But I rarely do, like, any Americans.
No one
like,
does that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't yeah. translate well into English.
And then,
just goes
and then myself, like, just was, like, giving up on it and just was, like, Kareem Ahmed, Kareem Ahmed, Kareem mm-hmm. Ahmed. And mm-hmm. I just hated it. I really didn't like that name. Mm-hmm. I didn't like, how hard it's... Like, Kareem is, like, such a flowy mm-hmm. name. And then mm-hmm. Ahmed is just, like... Ugh. Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I recently changed that like 2 years ago.
Whoa.
Oh.
Yeah.
To
so
what?
To Rahma. So oh. I took my dad's old name and I chopped oh. the Abu off
okay.
and just made it more modern. So now it's just Kareem Rahma. And
wow.
I think it flows really nicely.
It's beautiful.
That's
yeah.
great.
It's just like boom.
You have a beautiful
it.
Name.
Stage name. Well, I made it. It's
Krem, all, Krem Ahmed.
It's been modified. It's plastic surgery until something like that feels natural because like it is my name in a
yeah.
way because it's my dad's name that
mm-hmm,
he
yeah.
gave up. And then I modified it because there's no Abu. Mm-hmm. There's no need for Abu.
So,
and so I really like it.
So after you realized Krem was a thing, they changed it to Kareem.
Yeah.
And then it was still Kareem Ahmed.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And then I like changed it to Kareem Rahma on like all my social media profiles for maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I'm going to see what this feels like. And I really liked it. And I mm-hmm. felt more like a Kareem Rahma. And I felt like pride
yeah.
when I like... would be on the customer service and people would be like, what's your name? And mm-hmm. be like, Kareem Rahma. And then eventually I was like, you know what? I'm going to change it. And so I just legally
yeah.
changed it.
I've known people that change their names legally and it's a whole process.
It's so much work.
Yeah. It's so
yeah.
good on you for actually doing it.
Yeah. I couldn't live with it anymore. It just
yeah.
felt like I didn't feel like an Ahmed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I really didn't feel like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
What did your mom think about that?
Yeah.
She was like, do whatever you want. My mom is like so fed up with my antics that she's just like, she doesn't care anymore
about
anything.
What do you mean
anything.
By that?
I mean, I'm like tattooed.
Were you a bad kid?
Not bad, but certainly pushing the limits of good.
I think I'm on that same.
Yeah.
They don't
well,
even
yeah.
say anything anymore. They're
yeah.
like, they look at my hands and just covered in tattoos and they're like, yeah, you just couldn't put them anywhere else, huh?
Yeah.
Couldn't hide them, huh?
Yeah.
yeah.
I was like, the first one out of my sisters to get tattoos. And even though they're both adults when they both got tattoos and one of them's older than me, they still blame me for being the bad influence and for like starting this whole trend. And like, basically, they blame me for corrupting the family, essentially.
Oh, no.
But
Shireen, you shouldn't,
yeah.
you know,
but
you
they
shouldn't
still
have
love
forced
you.
Them to get
they still
tattoos.
Love me.
That's good.
My grandfather has a joke, in his words, a joke, in my words, hurtful things that he said to me since I was like, since he lived with us like 8 years ago. But every once in a while, I'd walk by, he'd be like, it's all Shireen's fault to himself.
Wow.
To no one else.
That's the most Middle Eastern fault, like
yeah.
grandfather thing where you're like, oh, whatever, dude.
Yeah.
And he's
lay
also
off,
someone
man.
That would exaggerate.
Yeah.
Like, I said this on the podcast before, but like one year he told us we were all Turkish, like we were all from Turkey. And I'm just like, you can't just drop that. Like, you can't just expect me to go, I don't know, but whatever. We all have that family member.
Including himself?
He said that, yeah, I'm descended from Turkey. And I'm just like, I can't believe that because we do look all very similar.
Did,
I mean,
did anyone here do 23andMe?
Mm-hmm. I have done it, yeah. We
did
both
you get
did.
Any good news? I got,
dude.
Like, very boring news.
It,
was
I,
just
it
like,
said, like, 98% Iranian.
Yeah, that sucks.
I was like, cool.
Mine was pretty interesting.
Really?
I convinced my mom to do it, too. My dad will never do it because he doesn't want his DNA to be in the government. And, like, in his words, he doesn't want to be framed for a crime.
He's right.
Don't
I agree
commit
with
the
him.
Crime!
Framed!
No.
Framed.
They'll
want...
just put it in
yeah.
the crime scene.
Yeah, okay.
That's what he says. No, that's how much he doesn't trust the government.
I agree with him.
The only person
but,
who should be worried is my brother, who is
it.
A criminal.
I know, but then I regretted it, and I called
oh.
23andMe and said, delete my DNA, get rid of it, whatever you gotta
do.
Gonna
do that.
They said they would.
But they're lying.
I'm sure they said they
yeah,
would.
Yeah, why don't they want to do it? So they can plant
frame
at the
you.
Scene of a crime.
Yeah, Kareem Rahma. Yeah, that sounds like a fucking name.
I'm like, that's not me anymore.
But anyways.
Change your name back to
23andMe was interesting for me, and I convinced my mom to do it, and we realized like her family is descendant from like northern Africa probably, and also from in their words, I said this on the podcast before, I guess gypsy is a slur because it's like you get gypped and everything. But in 23andMe's
words,
that's
where that comes from.
We're descended from like the gypsies and like
Romani
in Europe.
Romani?
Yeah, I think yeah. they're Romanians. Romanian gypsies.
And they also told me, we did the health one too, and we were like confirmed, like, yeah, you can't, you're lactose intolerant.
Well, that's like the whole Arab, that's like yeah, the whole region.
Exactly.
No?
Yeah.
Mine was boring as hell. Mine was really? Just like, you are 99.3% North African. I was like, okay. That's
there was a
lot
big
of
chunk
countries.
That was unidentified for me.
A lot of countries.
There was, yeah. I was like 1% Italian, like a point something Japanese. Like there was a bunch of stuff that was just like, what?
That's cool though.
It was yeah. really cool.
You got Japanese?
Yeah, I got Japanese in there. I got Italian.
I had 99.3% North African and then like 0.4% Ashkenazi Jew.
Yeah, I
got. Yeah, but I wanted more. Yeah. I wanted like 1% plus yeah. of something else. Or yeah. or I wanted to be like, you are pharaonic, if that's a word. Like you're a descendant, you're 100% Egyptian, like yeah. you're yeah. Pharaoh's
you're
son.
Fucking, yeah.
That
yeah.
would have been sick. That's... Think about how sick if I would have been a pharaoh.
Like I mean, if it was just but like, you're not, so
I know,
move on.
Yeah, so you need to chill out. Okay?
I've been thinking about this for 5 years.
Yeah. I got like, it was like 0.01% North African, 0.01% maybe India, like
we've,
South
we've discussed
East
this on an episode
somewhere.
Before.
Yeah, and then it was like 98% Iranian, you're inbred and you need to deal with it. And I was yeah. like, yeah, I know that no one fucked around with anyone but themselves.
Yeah.
But yeah. Iranians are cool.
I guess, yeah, I mean.
They have their whole thing, their, would, own, their
well,
own cool thing.
Yeah, we got
do
our
you,
own vibe.
Do you agree? So my name is Iran. My name is Farsi. But like, so when I meet another... When I meet another, when I meet someone who's Iranian or Persian, they assume I am from Iran because of my name. It means sweet in Farsi.
Sweetie.
But
just like her sweet little personality.
No.
That's what I bet. That's
I try to they, fight against that every day.
Any Iranian you'll meet will be like, oh, like actual Iranian, not Iranian American, will be like, oh, because she's so sweet. And you're like,
my
okay,
mom didn't know that's
Jesus
what it meant.
Christ.
My mom had no idea that's what it meant.
But Shireen is a very Arabic name too. Like I know
well,
so many Egyptian Shireens.
Yeah, there are a lot of Arabic actresses that are named Shireen. There are Arabic singers that are named Shireen. I know an Indonesian girl named Shireen. Like it's just, it's a popular name, but...
Maybe
have you
it's a Muslim name. Have you ever thought of that?
It's not a Muslim name.
You sure?
Because the singer I'm thinking of is Christian.
Yeah, but that couldn't be why it wouldn't be a Muslim name. Because they could easily just...
I guess so.
...have adopted it.
Sure, that's true.
I don't know, actually. We'll look at the etymology.
But
ethnomatopology.
But have you experienced this thing of the superiority complex that Iranians have? So when they find out I'm not Persian, they're like,
less interested.
Because...
You get knocked down.
Well, because like there's a certain like haughtiness of being like, merci, we have French and we're sing-songy and like we're not like the Arabs.
No, so it's just it's a inherent racism from day one.
Yeah.
Where Persians just do not like to be mistaken for Arabs. And I think it does come, and it's not because we talk sing-songy, that's just how we talk, but it's more of just like, I believe it comes from back in the Mesopotamian days or whatever, when it was just a blurb of Persia where everyone was fucking fighting, I think Persians never felt like anything. Like we were just always kind of like, oh, you guys are Persia. This whole area is Persia. That's it. And it's like, no, we have different things going on. Arabs and Persians are different. And then I think an inherent racism was built to be like, no, these Arabs don't belong here. Kick them the fuck out of this area.
But like, I don't get offended when people think I'm Persian, but like,
because you're Arab.
But then when I do the same, that's just so
I know,
mean.
But it's not
it
a thing.
So mean.
It was never a thing that the Arabs didn't want it. Like it all came from like Persians being fucking uppity assholes.
That's what I'm saying. But I didn't realize that until I moved to LA and I was like, I would mistake a Persian for being Arab and I would see the look on their face and I'd be like, wait, you did the same thing to me a minute ago.
I think it's also potentially an LA thing.
No, it's everywhere.
No, Iranians definitely have
a superiority complex.
I would call it like a cool factor. But they know they're definitely like, I'm not Arab. Like I think they want everyone to know, which is fine. That's good. They're not
having a Persian name. I would never get offended if you were like, you're Persian. And I'm like, okay, we're all similar. Like, we're all like, in my mind, me and Anna are more similar than dissimilar, even though it's different language.
Right.
I don't know.
I also think LA Persians are a whole other breed of monster because like, I'm a Northern California Persian. And yes, my parents have done well for themselves. Yes, my dad drives a BMW. Okay. I don't know why. He just decide that's just the Persian German engineering, Anna. But it's also like that's just the thing. But then there's a level of like madness to these LA Persians. I went to one LA Persian like dinner, and it was like the aggro-ness of being like, we are rich. We live a nice life. Like, it was so intense. Like, it was like they were trying to show off to me. I'm like, yeah, no, I'm Persian. Like, cool. Yeah. I'm very successful. You know, good for you. Like, what are you trying to prove to me?
At least Persians made it. Arabs, they never floss. They never have the dinners where they're flexing. It's always just like, I'm a poor Arab guy.
Yeah, Arabs are already struggling so much. What upsets me is that we're already like the bottom of the barrel, and then there's like people that look just like us that are like pushing us also further down.
But that's the sad Middle Eastern way that they like built themselves up to be like, no, we're different. We matter more. And it's like, no one matters. We're all going to die by the U.S. hands anyway. So like you know,
I feel bad for the Arabs.
I feel bad for the Arabs, Arab.
You guys should feel bad because here, sitting here on my throne, my Persian throne,
it's sick. Made of solid gold.
I'm gonna start saying I'm Persian. Fuck it.
Yeah. I mean, who would
your name is
say
very
you
Arab,
weren't?
But I mean, also
I know,
my
but
name
I could add
Persian.
like a Nas at the end of my name, Karim Nas, and just boom,
Karim Jun.
Karim.
Well,
Jun.
Actually, I know some Karim Persians.
Yeah.
Sick. I'm in.
They're all like Karimi.
Is that Persian woman voice?
It's like old Persian lady voice who is like giving you a backhanded compliment in a weird way. God. Like they always do.
They're like, oh, you look so healthy.
Yeah. They're like, oh, she's so sweet. Why is she being so angry right now? And you're like, what? I'm not a child.
Yeah.
Jesus fucking Christ. Like, I'm cranky because you are being condescending.
Yeah. On that note.
Should we take a break?
One more break. We'll be right back.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, and Two Door Cinema Club.
And we're back.
On that note, my dad has an insane suit closet. Isn't that weird?
I mean, yeah,
he's like
the
70s, obsessive
probably.
About his suits.
That's sick.
Where he goes like, no, it has to be just a little bigger here. And you always have to wear a red tie. He's obsessed with red ties. It's apparently a torque thing.
It's
torque
also
love.
Very presidential to wear a red tie.
Oh.
You notice that?
Yeah.
All
I guess
presidents
it is.
Wear
but I think he
ties.
Stole that from
American
Torques.
Presidents.
I think he took a look at Northern Iran and he's like, these old drunks are all wearing red ties.
Okay, I want to talk to you about When you were in high school, did you know, were your parents putting you under any kind of pressure of like what you wanted to study or whatever? Did you have any idea of what you wanted to go into? Had that translate into you moving to New York, yada, yada? Give us a little rundown.
So my parents were very supportive of me and kind of gave me the flexibility to do as I pleased when it came to my studies, as long as I got good grades.
Oh, that's nice.
I certainly was kind of not trying my hardest. I guess I don't want to sound at all like pretentious or like smart, but I actually felt pretty smart in high school and had figured out that like I don't actually need to try that hard and that my parents were cool with me getting B's and I was cool with me getting B's. And so like I was not going to aim for A's.
Yeah.
So I did like the least amount of work.
You're floating by.
To get the B's.
Mm-hmm.
So I got the B's, sometimes B minuses. C plus here and there.
And it gets lower and lower the more you talk.
Sometimes D's, well, sometimes
because now I'm thinking about like most classes you can get a B without trying.
No,
but like
all,
then like some of them where you have to try a little bit, like algebra, for example, where you have to like learn something. You can't just like bullshit your way through a paper.
Yeah.
The C plus was happening there. And so when it came time to go to college, they didn't care where I went or what I studied as long as I went to college.
But so like, where'd you end up?
I went to the University of Minnesota out of sheer laziness.
But okay, in your brain, did you have a passion or like a like? Even though you were like coasting by in school, did you have an idea of like something you were interested in?
No, I was kind of one of those kids that was like obsessed with hustling and money, and like so like I would like just
so you're a drug dealer.
I would work air quotes. I would work the streets, you know. No, so I was just like I was just always on my hustle.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I guess I kind of knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur in a way because. I just hated structure and I hated like conformity and I hated like being told what to do. And,
same,
and,
yeah.
Yeah,
same,
right?
Same.
Like, and so when I went to college, there was just this the pressure that my parents applied was like, yo, you got to pick a major. Because I didn't pick one until like my third year.
Oh my God. What were you doing?
I can understand why they didn't pressure you.
I was racking up the generals, you know?
Oh my fucking God.
I was like getting all of them done. I did everything until it was like, you cannot take another class in the generals, like in the liberal arts like curriculum unless you declare a major. And I was so stressed out about it. And I was like, retail merchandising. And then that would have been so bad. Agricultural business. I was like, okay, I want to be a businessman in some way, shape, or form. Anyways, eventually my dad was like, you must pick a major this weekend. And I was like, okay, let's sit down. At the time, we had this big book. I don't know if you guys
the
had that. It was like,
yeah,
it was like the big book with all the majors in it.
Yeah.
And it would be like the major and then like three sentences about it. And I saw journalism and I was like, that seems cool and like exciting and creative and interesting. I certainly was not passionate about journalism in any way, shape, or form. Did not read the newspaper. Didn't care. But then
this is a great like fail upward sort of story.
Totally. And my whole life is failing up, but not in the way of like I'm bad at my job and I fail up and just like I really procrastinate until the last moment and I have to make a decision. Like I operate well under pressure.
Yeah.
That's good. Because what happens is then finally my gut kicks in. You know how people are like, you should listen to your gut? I don't listen to my gut. I listen to my gut, and then I listen to my brain, and then I listen to my gut, and then I listen to my brain until the very last minute. And then it's like, gut time. Like, let's get out of here. And maybe I should start applying this to my normal life because, like, I'll wait as long as possible to make a decision until I have to, and then that's the moment I make it.
Yeah.
And so I got a job at the Minnesota Daily, which was the college newspaper, selling ads. I was ad sales guy because the journalists made no money. And I was like, well, I got to pay for college still. So like, I was like selling ads and I got ripped off. I remember by, shout out to the Persians. this one guy who was like, we're having a huge party. Like I want a full page ad in the Minnesota Daily promoting this like Nowruz party. And I was like, I was like, it's like $10,000. He's like, it's cool, dude. I got you. I was like, okay.
Oh.
So I went to the newspaper and I was like, hey, these guys want to take out this big ad for a party. And they're like, okay, like who are they? I was like, I don't know, a bunch of Persian, like New Year's thing.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, give it to them. And then they never paid. but anyway.
Were you fired?
No. Oh. No one cared. Like,
you didn't go break their knees?
No, I was never that
kind of
guy.
I thought you were a drug dealer.
No, I never said.
I'm just kidding. Sorry.
Anna said I was a drug dealer.
I was just joking.
I guess I
wasn't.
I had traded drugs for alcohol, which is another story. I got caught for alcohol. in my house because I traded some weed for it. But
Ooh, classic.
Yeah, I know. And the whole way I got caught is a very long story, but I won't talk about it. But yeah, it's just like been a lot of stumbling around and like, I guess I'm like kind of like a blind person that's just like feeling things and all of a sudden things feel right. And then I'm like, great, that sounds nice. Path of least resistance for a long time.
Uh-huh. You feel like all my brothers.
Good.
They all have been. And I'm like, how come no one is forcing them to go to law school? And my parents are like, they'll figure it out. Yeah. And you're like, what?
Did they figure it out?
Give or take.
Yeah, we all are.
He's like, is there hope for me? Yeah, like, do they figure it out?
Yeah, no, I'm in the... maybe 15th year of an identity crisis, so I have not figured it out. And yeah, so like college was really fun. I immediately started working again. I'm obsessed with money. So like the minute I graduated, got a job in an advertising agency. I liked the advertising side because the journalism side seemed, again, like a lot of work.
Yeah.
Like real work, whereas the advertising side seemed like it's just like
wheeling and dealing.
Yeah, like what's a good tagline for something? It's like it cleans. You're like, that's pretty good. I'm like, yep.
Hilarious.
Yeah, it was just like you can make things up on the spot, which I loved, you know? Yeah. So I did that for a long time. And then it finally caught up with me where I was like, I don't know if I like advertising. It's kind of like weird and not super fun. And
you got to be like a fast talking salesman.
Yeah. And it's like, it's okay. It's a good way to make a living, but like, eventually, if you really have some kind of creative thing going on in your body, like it doesn't cut it.
Yeah.
And you need to do something else. And then at that point, I was still in Minnesota and I was like having a pretty good time, good life. And
same city that you grew up in?
No. So St. Paul and Minneapolis are the two major metropolitans in Minnesota. And they were divided by a river called the Mississippi River.
Uh-huh.
But they're literally 20 minutes away from each other.
Okay. I remember I've heard that they're close.
No, they're the twin cities. I mean, they should be one city.
Oh, wow.
They should. And that's probably my unpopular opinion. And I bet people would be so pissed to hear this because they do have like their little distinct personalities.
But you're not
like,
Minnesota?
At Kareem Rahman. Yeah.
So I grew up in St. Paul, but went to school in Minneapolis and then lived in Minneapolis for after college.
Got it.
And then I took this trip to Europe, very cliche, and I was like in Paris and like Berlin and like London, and then
you're a classic Omar Sharif.
Yeah, classic Omar Sharif, just smoking cigs on top of the Eiffel Tower, and they're like, "Don't smoke cigarettes up there." I'm like, "Oh my bad."
Let me order for you.
I'm Egyptian. And then I came back and I was like, "What am I doing here? I gotta get the fuck out of this place." Like after seeing the world a little bit, because I'd only been really like Cairo and like Cancun for spring break.
Hell yeah.
And so I moved to New York like completely. I had one friend, and that one friend had just moved to New York a month before me. So it was like, should I move to LA? Should I move to San Francisco? Or should I move to New York? And I was like, well, I have a friend in New York, but it's like a guy that had just moved there a month ago. Anyways, I came and I got very lucky by getting a job at Vice, and I knew no one. And it was like a month into living in New York.
How did you get a job at Vice?
They were desperate.
Was this around the time? Wait, what? What
this is
era
2011.
Was this? 2011.
It was like the company was like 67 people.
Oh,
and
what was the job title you got?
It was head of activation.
What the fuck is that?
This makes sense, actually.
That's exactly right.
I remember when Vice, like, they had just put their travel guide. That was like the first time in that 2011, 2010, whatever, 2012. That time is when I started discovering their like travel guides. Mm. Like when they went, when what's his name? That Shane
Smith,
went to
North Korea.
North Korea. There we go. And that, and then I think they went to like Pakistan or somewhere else. They were like buying guns and shit.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa! I was like college smoking weed, like, hell yeah, bro! No, that's Gerald! Whatever the fuck I was doing.
And they found you. They were like, oh, an Egyptian went to Paris?
No, it was more like we have a lot of clients that are asking for people that know things about advertising and we don't. And do you? And I was like, sure. And I was such a loser. Like, I was wearing, like, a Minnesota baseball cap. I definitely showed up to my interview in a suit. Because I was
like, bro, this is Vice. Snort this cocaine.
Exactly.
But, like, you got the job.
I was like, don't mind if I do. I did get the job. Yeah. And it was like, hey, can you start tomorrow? And I was
Lord.
Sure. Hey, do you have a laptop? Can you bring your laptop? Like, there was just, they were not, they were growing at such a rapid rate.
Yeah.
That they were desperate for me.
They were barely paying people, but go ahead.
Yeah, they were barely, it was three for ones. So yeah. Like three young people for the price of one sane person. So yeah, I took a big pay cut and I was like.
But you were cool now.
I'm in New York. Well, not only was I cool, I didn't need the cool. What I needed was friends.
Yeah.
And being in a room with 70, 24-year-olds, and then by the end of it, like 300 24-year-olds. I had a lot of friends all of a sudden in New York.
They were all 24.
Everyone was 24. Yeah. No, seriously. Yeah. It was like they were letting the lunatics run the asylum, and it was like sick. And I was like, this is fun. I'm a part of this. Like,
And then
the New York Times hit me up, and they were like, do you want to come work for us and do like what you did at Vice, but for the New York Times? And I was like, oh, dude, I'm about to lose my clout. Like this Vice.com email address, like this is my key to the city.
Yeah.
I need Kareem at Vice.com.
Like, that's crazy. That's like what Nilo Tabrizi did, too.
Yeah, I was just thinking
about Vice. Yeah. No, she went Vice, Al Jazeera. Or maybe she was Al Jazeera first, but Vice and then to New York Times as well.
Do you know Nilo? Pretty cool.
No.
You're missing out, bro. You should actually meet her. She's great. She's Iranian. She'll rip you off.
In New York, too.
She's currently with the New York Times.
Oh, that's sick. Okay,
but that's
cool
that they hit you up. There must have been a good like ego boost, no?
Yeah, no. I at the end of the day, I did realize I was pretty good at my job. You know, like
so you
I wasn't
were still
just
in
fumbling.
The advertising
I wasn't an idiot.
World.
It was shifting to
like
essentially
branded content.
Yeah, like branding Vice as a thing.
Yeah.
And like working on like social media, and you know, my team was responsible for the first ever YouTube videos uploaded to YouTube from Vice. And
so New York Times wanted to do that for them?
Yeah, they wanted to like launch Times Video, which, you know, I laid the groundwork for. I was there for a couple of years, and then now they have like a TV show, and like all these things are happening. And so I think we laid a pretty good groundwork for it. And then, you know, working there was great, but it was also like exhausting because my job was more or less to like be a consultant for a bunch of like very great journalists that really didn't know how to use the internet at the time. Now they're great. Now like the Times kills it, but like just 5 years
ago. They didn't know how to use the internet?
Yeah. It was like they were like
and I Googled this.
Yeah, no, it was like more like I don't get this whole Twitter thing. It was really weird. And now it's very everyone's advanced.
It's like
you know?
Second nature.
Yeah, but and this is only 5 years ago where it was like, how
I'm
do
tweeting
we,
right now.
I'm tweeting with my eyes closed.
Yeah.
And then I started a company. I quit the Times, started a company called Nameless Network, which was smart videos for the smartphone generation. And I've been running that. I still do run it on a day-to-day basis.
That's amazing.
And then the whole identity crisis thing is happening because like all of a sudden it's like, poetry, podcast, like comedy, acting, writing. Now that in the past like 2 years, all of these things have been happening that I'm like trying to like get out of my body. That's how I describe it. There's like in my body.
Yeah.
I need to get them out. They're like demons.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
what?
Yeah. I need
what if I was really Muslim all of a sudden? What?
Habibi.
I know I am wearing my Allah.
Oh, you are? Oh, I didn't know you had that.
Shout out, Allah.
Shout out to Allah.
Shout out to our main dog, Allah.
In the sky.
Oh,
that's
Allah.
My boy.
Grandpa made me wear this.
Oh, cool.
No, I'm wearing gold, which is haram.
I mean,
really?
It's like
this is
some,
gold
some
too.
People think
big
it is.
Chest.
Okay, do you want to?
Sorry.
Oh, good thing your chest
big
is
chest
hairy.
Energy.
I wasn't sure you were Middle Eastern for a second.
It's not bad.
Also, no. Kareem, he has a button-down shirt, and like six of the buttons are unbuttoned. By the way,
we're in LA.
For someone who's
it's
like,
hot.
I got ripped off by Persians. You are vibing the "I will rip you off as a Persian."
I think
vibe.
It looks dope. The thing is, like, I don't think people do this anymore.
No, because you look like everyone's uncle.
That's my vibe. I had a mustache until a couple days ago. My mustache plus this, people were like, I don't know if
they're
this
like,
guy
do you
is
speak
trying
English?
To like.
They're like, this like guy's, I'm from the past.
This guy
I actually
either
live in Brooklyn.
Just is fresh off the boat or is about to sell me a used car.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not sure which one. Maybe both.
Probably both.
No, I shaved my mustache and buttoned up my shirt for the TikTok community.
Oh,
of which
whoa.
I'm now a proud member of. I've gone viral once.
Oh, because they're not.
You've gone viral once.
I've gone viral, yeah.
Whoa. What was your TikTok that went viral?
Half viral. I would call half viral.
Okay, well, you already
what
said
does that mean.
You can't just backtrack. You just said it on air.
Okay,
what does that mean?
300,000 views.
That's viral.
That's great, yeah.
I'd say it's half.
What's
I'd say viral. Full viral is like a million.
I guess if you went viral, I would have already
it's like
seen
it's
it.
A quarter viral.
But what did you go viral on?
I made this funny sketch or skit, maybe. I don't know. It was like, 8 days after moving to New York, and it's like me, except like in a flannel button down, being like, yeah, mom, it's expensive, but everyone's really nice here. And then it's like 8 months after you moved to New York, and it's like, sup, bro, like, meet me with a gram. We'll go to the we'll hit up the Boom Boom Room tonight. My friend's DJing. And then it's like 8 years after moving to New York, and it's like, the fuck are you looking at? And that just went viral. It was funny.
I love that you just like dictated your video to us.
This episode might go viral.
Yeah. Thank you so much. That's the only reason you're here.
Yeah, we were like, marketing hit us up. We're like, is this guy viral?
Well, okay.
Oh, half.
half viral.
Okay.
Never full.
But we can work with that.
I've never been full viral.
Before we end this, give us a brief history of like how you got the podcast.
Yeah,
going.
Tell us. I want to know about your podcast.
So the podcast You People is a podcast all about you people.
Excuse me? What did you call us?
Yes, exactly. You people. It's you know, traditionally a derogatory phrase used about us and others that are not white. And the idea is that we should take it and make it into a positive thing, similar to what Kanye West did with the Confederate flag.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys know that joke. He tried.
Yeah?
He did try. He was like, I'm taking this back.
I bet he did.
It didn't work.
It's unfortunate you bring this up at the end of the podcast, because if it was at the beginning, I would have ended this podcast a long time ago.
Because we're not Kanye fans.
No, I'm just kidding.
I don't really care.
I was just kidding.
Dolly did put out his Christmas commercial? No. Photo? What? They're all wearing sweats.
I don't know.
Great vibe.
I mean, they're all Yeezy sweats. It's not like it's a commercial.
Oh, are they?
It's probably a commercial for
Yeezy. It's probably branded content.
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. You can work on that.
Thanks, Kanye. If you're listening to this, I got a couple tips.
Huge EA fan.
How to get half viral with yourself.
How to lessen your brand.
And so yeah, the idea of use people is to you know, kind of take back the phrase and make it a positive instead of a negative. I bring really interesting people from the entertainment industry onto the show, and we talk about, you know, it's kind of the hero's journey of what was it like being different growing up.
Yeah.
How did you reconcile with that? Where are you at now?
That's kind of what we try to do with our guest episode.
He stole our show idea.
No, but I respect that.
It's a cooler version.
Sorry.
Because we didn't think of you people.
Yeah, we didn't think of you people.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, my bad. I was like, oh, this show's really good. Call Ethnic Ambiguous. Might as well just steal it.
He's
just kidding. I definitely did not.
No, he did.
No, I didn't.
He did.
Are you lying?
No, I'm not fucking lying.
I don't believe anything he says.
Hey, guys. What? You don't believe anything I said? I'm not my dad. I'm not my father.
Well, you are a hustler. He is a hustler.
I was going to say, the more you were talking about your life, the more I was like, apple meat tree. Because like, you're the way you moved to New York, the way you like, you are your dad. You're your dad's son.
It's okay.
And it's beautiful.
I'm full on.
Your dad seemed fucking lit.
I'm half torque, bro.
I'm buttoning up my shirt.
I'm cray.
No!
I'm buttoning up my shirt. I'm
did
a
your
shave
dad wear
head.
A button-down shirt like that?
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, he did?
Oh,
okay.
So then what are we discussing here?
You were talking about his, he like left Egypt on a whim. Like, it's pretty beautiful. I don't think he even realized it.
Your dad was half viral with that jogging thing?
Yeah.
He was half viral.
He invented jogging.
The town was like,
podcast.
Yo, what is this dude doing?
And you know, the most important thing is that my great aunt or whatever she is, really thinks I look like him, so like that's really what matters.
Exactly.
This proof is in the pudding.
Thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so glad you're cool, because I had no idea who you were. Cool,
that's sure. Is that a compliment?
You really can't say that on the show.
I'm just really.
I think she's trying to make me. She wants me to go full
I'm
viral.
I'm curious. How did we connect? Like who?
Oh,
like
yeah.
did your hyphen media?
Yeah.
Did they reach out to us?
Yeah. No. I was. We were talking to someone at iHeart about like promoting you people in the thing, like in the featured carousel and such.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. And they were like, oh, we can also probably get you as a guest on other shows.
Yeah.
And they're like, have you heard of Ethnic and Ambiguous? Like, you can definitely be on that
You're
show.
Like, oh,
we'll
the
hit
show
them
we
up.
Stole?
Yeah, I was like, oh, that's my show. I was like, it's the same show, except there's only one cool host instead of two cool hosts.
Hell yeah, dude.
That was a compliment. To
who?
To us.
Oh, to us.
There's two cool hosts.
Two cool hosts.
Oh, I thought he was, I heard it backwards, and I was like, he just insulted us in my head, and
no,
I was quiet.
Here is a thing. Here's a thing.
No, Shereen, we're cool.
I'm nice.
Okay.
I'm actually a nice person.
I don't think nice people have to qualify that.
No, but right? I think because you guys think I look cool for some weird fucking reason.
No.
Actually, you need to make up your minds. So
you said I looked cool,
and then you say I look like someone that's going to try to sell you some like
Anna said that
Swisher sweets.
Is that not cool? There's an aesthetic. Cool is such a very interesting thing to me because you can curate yourself as so fucking cool on Instagram.
I don't curate. I just exist.
Okay, oh so then you're cool. That's like the coolest thing you could fucking say. Is it?
No, I want to curate. I want to try hard to be cool.
Okay, well, you're doing it because you appear cool on the internet.
I appreciate that. Actually, here's the thing.
In person, I was like, this fool curating.
Here's the thing.
Actually
don't feel cool. I swear to God.
No one ever really feels cool because we're all deeply anxious.
But you
people?
Saying that to me makes me feel really good about myself.
Yeah,
good.
You should feel good.
I need compliments to exist.
Okay.
So thank you.
You're cool, man. You're cool.
Hey, I appreciate that. I can't tell if you're getting paid to say this.
I'm not paid enough. For anything. but
we chose to be here. We don't get an extra bump for humoring you. Could you imagine, like, humor this fool and then we'll give you more money? We're like, okay.
Hey, this guy wants to be on your show. He'll pay you. Welcome to a branded episode of Ethnically Ambiguous. We have Kareem Rama, who's paid us $6,000 to be a guest on the show.
Yeah, we're like pay for play.
Thanks.
I like that.
I really appreciate it,
guys. Quid pro quo, baby.
Hey, do you guys mind not telling anyone that I paid for this episode?
You kind of
just cut that part out, guys. Just cut that part out.
Yeah, cut that part out, Zach. Leave it in. Okay, everything's good. Yeah, we took care of it. Don't worry about it. That's just how we talk here. Like,
so should I Venmo you?
Yeah, Venmo.
The Venmo
here's
limit.
Here's my handle. Yeah.
The Venmo limit is 999.
Are you serious?
It's whatever.
1,000?
No, it's like 999,999.
You can't go a million.
You can Venmo me that much?
.999, yeah. You can go almost a million. How do you say that number?
900,099.
Dollars.
100. And money.
99 cents?
999,099 dollars and 99 cents is the limit.
Yeah, that's it.
No, you left out a nine.
No, 999,999.
Oh my god. All of us are not smart.
999,999,99.
Yes.
Bing, 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 numbers. Bing, 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 bing.
The only time I've ever been able to do that.
So that's how much you can Venmo.
Okay.
Okay, well, we'll
so send that.
Yeah.
Do you guys take Bitcoins?
I do, actually.
Okay.
What? What do you mean? You have Bitcoin?
I did. I sold a lot of it during that boom.
Oh, wow.
Should I Coinbase you?
I actually don't have Coinbase anymore. Hey, I moved to...
You're like advanced.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I left Coinbase. Well, I mean, Coinbase is good because you can buy... Guys, I am not about to become Bitcoin person on here.
tell everyone where they can find you, where they can listen to the podcast, and just all of the plugs.
Hi, if you like me, your friendly neighborhood guest, please follow @Kareem on Instagram. If you think that my podcast, which is very similar to this podcast, sounds interesting, find us on Spotify, Apple, or wherever else you listen. It's called You People with Kareem Rahma. I think that's it.
I mean, honestly, we always felt like we were like kind of there's not a lot of podcasts like Ethnically Ambiguous. So I really like that there's another one, like You People, to give a platform to people of color, because there are so many, the majority of podcasts are just white dudes talking to each other. So yeah, there should be more than one. Like, I'm happy about that.
For sure.
So thanks so much for being here. This is Ethnically Ambiguous. We're Ethnically Amb, A-M-B on Twitter, and Ethnically Ambig, A-M-B-I-G on Instagram. Sorry, I just... short circuited. I'm Shireen. I'm Shirohiro on Instagram and Shirohiro666 on Twitter. And Anna is Anna Hosey.
I'm at Anna Hosey on Twitter.
Sorry, I wasn't sure if you were going to come
to
the
mic. Sorry, I was looking at my Bitcoin thing.
Okay. Thanks so much for being here again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Stay creme.
Stay creme.
Stay creme, y'all.
Fuck yeah.
I'm just start saying that. Stay creme, y'all.
Stay creme.
Ethnically Ambiguous is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks,
Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.